Constable Visit the Ungodly with Explanatory Pamphlets was a good copper, Vimes always said, and that was his highest term of praise. He was an Omnian with his countrymen's almost pathological interest in evangelical religion, and spent all his wages on pamphlets. He even had his own printing press. The results were handed out to anyone interested, and everyone who wasn't interested as well. Even detritus couldn't clear a crowd faster than Visit, Vimes said. And on his days off, he could be seen tramping the streets with his colleague, Smite the Unbeliever with cunning arguments. So far, they hadn't made a single convert. Vimes thought that Visit was probably a really nice man underneath it all, but somehow he could never face the task of finding out. "Smote," said Vimes, bewildered. "He killed someone."
"Not by the way the man was cussing, sir," said Detritus. "Hit him in the arm. His friends brought him round the watch house to complain. He's a baker on the night shift. He said he was late for work. He come running in to pick up his dinner. Next minute, he's flat on the floor."
Vimes walked across the street and tried the door of the shop. It opened a little way and then fetched up against what seemed to be a barricade. Furniture had been piled up against the window as well.
"How many people were there, Constable?"
"A multitude thereof, sir."
"And four people in here," thought Vimes. "A family." The door moved a fraction, and Vimes realized he was ducking even before the crossbow protruded. There was the thung of the string. The bolt tumbled rather than sped. It corkscrewed wildly across the alley and was almost moving sideways when it hit the opposite wall.
"Look," said Vimes, keeping his body down but raising his voice. "Anyone who got hit with that, it must have been an accident. This is the watch. Open the door. Otherwise Detritus will open it. And when he opens the door, it stays open. You know what I mean?"
There was no reply.
"All right. Detritus, just step over here."
There was a hissed argument inside, and then the sound of scraping as furniture was moved. He tried the door. It swung inwards. The family were at the far end of the room. Vimes felt eight eyes on him. The atmosphere had a hot, worrying feel, spiced with the smell of burnt food. Mr. Goriff was holding the crossbow gingerly, and the expression on his son's face told Vimes a lot of what he needed to know.
"All right," he said. "Now you all listen to me. I'm not arresting anyone right now, you hear? This sounds like one of those things that make his lordship yawn. But you'd do better spending the rest of the night in the watch house. I can't spare the men to stand guard here. Do you understand? I could arrest you, but this is just a request."
Mr. Goriff cleared his throat.
"The man I shot,"
he began, and left the question and the lie hanging in the air. Vimes forced himself not to glance at the boy.
"Not badly hurt," he said.
"He ran in," said Mr. Goriff, "and after last night..."
"You thought you were being attacked again and grabbed the crossbow?"
"Yes,"
said the boy defiantly before his father could speak. There was a brief argument in Clatchian. Then Mr. Goriff said,
"We must leave the house?"
"For your own good. We'll try to have someone watch it. Now get something together and go off with the sergeant, and give me that crossbow."
Goriff handed it over with a look of relief. It was a typical Saturday night special, so badly made and erratic that the only safe place to be when it was fired would be directly behind it. And even then you would be running a risk. And then no one had told its owner that under the counter, in a steamy shop and a perpetual rain of grease, wasn't the best place to keep it strung. The string sagged. Probably the only way you could reliably hurt someone with it was to beat them over the head. Vimes waited until they'd been ushered out and took a last look around the room. It wasn't large. In the kitchen behind the shop, something spicy in a pot was boiling dry. After burning his fingers a couple of times, he managed to tip the pot onto the fire to put it out, and then, vaguely remembering his mother doing something like this, put the pot under the pump to soak. Then he barricaded the windows as best he could and went out, locking the door behind him. A discreetly obvious brass thieves' guild plaque over the door told the world that Mr. Goriff had conscientiously paid his annual fee and would not therefore be officially burgled. Ankh-Morpork had a very direct approach to the idea of insurance. When the middleman was cut out, that wasn't a figure of speech. But the world had plenty of less formal dangers, and so Vimes took a piece of chalk out of his pocket and wrote on the door, "Under the protection of the watch." As an afterthought, he signed it, "Sergeant Detritus." In the imaginations of the less civically minded, the majesty of the rule of law didn't carry anything like as much weight as the dread of Detritus.